I would say that the special relationship between the UK and the United States has continued since Reagan and Thatcher. But it's true that Reagan and Thatcher had a very close understanding of each other and mutual respect. And Margaret Thatcher, as Prime Minister, was very astute at a time when Britain was declining in world politics to reinvigorate the special relationship with the United States that would enable Britain to retain global influence, but in partnership with the United States. And they worked very well together. And, you know, of course, many people know that she had a very early appreciation of Gorbachev before he became the last General Secretary of the Soviet Union, and saw that he was an up-and-coming leader who was going to reform the Soviet Union. And being the anti-communist she was, along with Ronald Reagan, she got Reagan to see that Gorbachev was a man that the West could deal with, and that occurred.
There was at one point in their relationship that I'm not sure what the issue was, but she said to Ronald Reagan, you know, this is no time to go wobbly. So she was actually perhaps more of a conservative backbone to him than perhaps he was to her. Would you agree?
Oh, I think they contributed to each other's strengths. But sure, she helped him to understand that change was afloat in the Soviet Union, and that was very important. And he had great respect. Not only was she the Iron Lady, of course, but she was a pragmatic lady. She had great leadership in pursuing British interests, but she also made compromises and was also pragmatic on a number of international issues.
To this day, almost 23, 24 years after she was ousted as prime minister by her own party, her legacy within the United Kingdom is still hotly debated. She made a lot of long-lasting enemies. For a lot of people, they don't look back at her with any fondness.
Well, I think that the her record, how you view her record depends on where you sit on the political spectrum. But, you know, having privatized British government-owned industries from British Rail to British Air to British Telecom not only opened up these companies to competition on a global scale, but allowed average British middle-class people to actually invest in these companies. So she really helped to modernize the British economy. And what I found striking was that she agreed to a treaty called the Single European Act with the European Community back then in the 80s that sought to eliminate non-tariff barriers within the European Community countries of which Britain was a member. So she actually supported a treaty that strengthened the European Community because it was in Britain's interest to gain more access for British products in the European market. So I think that showed her pragmatism in helping to modernize the British economy within the European Union.
I heard one analysis on the BBC today that said her legacy and her tenure in office may have been much shorter if it wasn't for the Falklands War. She was a very unpopular person at that time, an unpopular leader. The Falklands War came along. They won it decisively, and this renewed her.
It's true. The Falkland Islands War gave the Iron Lady the opportunity to keep the Falkland Islands British, and she was rewarded with great support for her in the United Kingdom. So that, again, earns her the title of Iron Lady. But, you know, again, it's a simplistic title. She was the first woman prime minister, served three terms, the longest-serving prime minister in Britain in the 20th century, with a global standing and stature that I think has been really unparalleled since Churchill. She not only pursued a special relationship with America, but she got things right with the Russians, and she pursued British interests in the European community. She survived, of course, the IRA bombing of her hotel in 1984. And it is sad, as you said, that the end of her leadership of her party was because she had not stepped down when she was on top. She waited until she lost her party's nomination to remain leader of party. And, of course, that was a mistake that politicians often make, staying on too long without having resigned just a little earlier when she would have been at the top of her game.
She certainly made her enemies on the left, but she also had some enemies within her own conservative party. What happened at the end there?
Well, she had three terms, and she was getting older, and it was time for, you know, three terms is a long, you know, it's a long period of time. It's 11 and a half years, and her administration was coming to an end, and there was a need for a new and younger leadership, and so, you know, it's often the politicians don't recognize that it's better to step down when you're at the top than when your own party starts rejecting you. So, but that's not what she'll be remembered by. She's going to be remembered by her accomplishments in helping to modernize British industry and to keep Britain at an important place in world politics. And I think that no matter where you stand in the British body politic, Margaret Thatcher is going to be one of the prime ministers that will be most remembered from the 20th century.
American conservatives are often waiting for the next Reagan. Are British conservatives waiting for the next Thatcher?
Oh, I don't know about that. I think that Britain's problems right now are so deep in terms of the economics and the need to reduce debt and remain competitive. And so Britain has had to cut back its defense forces and its foreign aid in order to get control of the budget and to use resources to revive the British economy. So I think whoever can do that is going to be the prime minister that the British people need.